Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Initiate Orphans Trailer.
Welcome to The Orphans.
It's Baz Gilroy. Baz Gilroy.
Hello. I am Geometrically Fabricated and Functional Reasoning Unit, but you can call me Jeffrey.
Do you know what they're going to do to me?
That's what I am to them out there. Just a spill on the floor that needs wiping up, aren't I?
But I will not stay here and witness your stupidity.
You do nothing but pretend. You don't care about me.
Get up. He's going to find us if we don't move.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans. Facility. Out now.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All right, so we are in design episode 19. Can you believe we've done 19 of these?
Yes.
Yeah, it actually feels like 19.
Yeah, we've been numbering them too.
So today I have with me, I have Liam Malone and Max Wessel.
Yeah, buddy.
We don't have Doug.
Because he has shrunken himself down to a microscopic level and now lives inside of one of us, but we don't know which.
He's performing extreme espionage through our phones, hacking into who knows what.
It's like Ant-Man and that wasp.
All right, so in this episode, I think we've got a good one. We got a good mix of shit here for listeners and for ourselves. So update to the party, our adventuring party here. The rulebook has been reworked to include the dice tier system that we've introduced. All the effects of that are not complete, but everything that was in the previous rulebook is now in this rulebook. So tiered damage has been introduced. Also, the pages that tell you what step you're on for the path have now been introduced as an extension of your character sheet with blanks to fill in so that you know exactly what your character can do at every stage of progression.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ability actually means in real time for you. And an updated character sheet has been released with a mild change that has the dice tiers as a stripe down the middle. I'm going to pull it up so you guys can see it. So one of the things I want to get into after our last play episode, which was Agnes's Ashes.
Yes.
And the combats that we did and that kind of thing. We're eventually going to have abilities that people have that roll against things that are other than dodge. The characters don't just need to step out of the way of. That target, mm-hmm. like their sense of self, you know, something intrinsic to themselves.
Some genjutsu shit?
Yeah, or even like, we don't have an ability that does this, but something that just will cause somebody fatigue shouldn't be rolling against their dodge. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so for things that don't roll against their dodge, instead of creating new classes of things to roll against, what if we use your base stats that you've already picked for your character?
That sounds good and useful.
So,
and may increase the value of certain base stats.
Yes. So I'm thinking it reduces the number of opposed rolls, which I think we should do. Your character yeah. should have a fixed difficulty to perform something against. So for instance, if I want to intimidate somebody, or if a goblin is trying to intimidate an orc, to use classic fantasy
mm-hmm.
archetypes, he's not going to have a good time of it, right? No. But if the goblin rolls a 20, that means the intimidation was very effective. But it doesn't make sense for the orc to then have to roll against him, where the orc decides that, am I able to be intimidated right now?
I'm not.
It's more about how effective you are at intimidating. Because
yes.
So if the orc roll, if the goblin rolls a 10 and the orc rolls a 1 and has a plus 8, he loses.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, in this exact moment, the orc is easy to intimidate. I don't think that doesn't play out as well, actually, in my head.
It's also double blind randomness.
Mm-hmm.
Which will, again, most of the time play out the way you think it's gonna, but it can create very dissonant moments.
Right.
I hear what you're saying, but I had another idea.
Okay.
Just a layer to add to the game. What if everything you do, you also roll to see what your fragile emotional state is for that moment?
You get the die that has all the faces on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You have to gauge.
Yeah.
And each phase has bonuses and negatives to certain things. Where, like, mm-hmm. when you're angry, you're much easier to make tired, but a lot harder to intimidate.
Yeah.
I like that idea, except that I hate it.
Yes. So, you know, when you're just feeling down and somebody comes at you.
So I think that characters and enemies have static resistances that are determined by their stats, which is relatively simple, even as a GM, to uh-huh. determine the static resistance an enemy has against something. And I think the formula we should use, you seem like you're nervous about, because
no.
I said the word formula.
No, I'm not nervous about that.
Okay.
I'd say the formula.
10
uh-huh.
plus the stat value,
okay.
so attribute, plus the character's level.
Okay.
That's it.
Would we at any point be adding passive bonuses from steps?
That's the character level. Do you mean in the step itself?
In the step itself, where you're like, oh, you got really hardy this time.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or
I'm not opposed to that.
Or, hey, you deal in illusion and terrifying people. You now see through that better because you know it.
I think your profession can account for this as well.
Yes.
So but professions, as we know, are situational. So it's not you get a +5 against intimidate.
No.
If you are a champion, or actually, what's a good one here? If somebody's trying to intimidate you,
and you're a daredevil,
yeah, exactly. Well, let's think about this. You can intimidate somebody in business,
yeah,
right. So you're saying, I have all this money, I have this and that, and I'm going to bring all of it against you and crush your business. And you're like, well, I'm a lawyer, or I'm an economist,
yeah,
like some kind of extreme profession.
Or just, I'm ruthless.
So my character is used to this kind of thing. I am a foreign dignitary to an enemy power.
Yeah. You can't.
Yeah. So
nerves of steel, baby.
Right. And somebody wants to intimidate you. You're like, oh, well, in this specific instance, I get to add my profession bonus against it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like it would be great if he's like, I'm going to intimidate you with this bomb, and you're an alchemist, and you're like, that's not going to make a very large explosion, I know that.
I also feel like, I want to intimidate you, but you routinely bring down stars from the heavens to smite your enemies. Are you harder to intimidate when you can create fire tornadoes from your fingers?
Depends on the enemy, I think, that you're up against. Because if they like literally have a dagger to your throat,
the
answer is yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, you can intimidate them.
Or if they just have armor.
Yeah. So...
Is there a little hurt in the end of that?
There is some rock, paper, scissors, like casters, armored dudes, scare casters, just generally.
So to use an example germane to the campaign we're running right now, if a Pawa with mm-hmm. 2 composure wants to intimidate Frixa and wants to intimidate him in that, it's like, I have a lot of money and I can buy the loyalty of your guys around you and they'll turn against you. So here's 2 scenarios. Just wants to flat intimidate him.
Uh-huh.
He rolls a d20 +2.
Okay.
Has to beat 14
okay.
to intimidate Frixa. Okay? We'll talk about what intimidate means in a second. If he's saying, I will turn your people against you with the power of my money or my resources, because Frixa is a ringleader, he would get his profession bonus, which is +5. So he'd have to beat a 19.
Yeah.
That makes sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that every time a character action, so a non-physical skill, is used to try to influence somebody else and rolls against these resistances, that character's resistances against non-physical skills increases by 1 until the end of the scene. Does that make sense?
Because you're on a roll?
Well, if you see that... So if one of them intimidates you...
Yes.
Or if one of them tries to intimidate you and fails, the next one has to beat something that's 1 level higher.
Okay.
Keeps going. But it makes even more sense if they succeeded and then you come out of it and now the next one wants to intimidate you. It's still going to be harder.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. It's like a middle school dance. One boy goes up, gets rejected. The next boy really has to overcome.
Right.
You know,
and intimidate is the thing we're using because it's very simple. It's a simple thing compared to confuse, disorient, you know, things that may be spell effects. But I think we can start with intimidate because everybody can do it. So what does intimidated mean? My initial thought, and argue with me if this is not true for you guys, I'm thinking -2 to attack against that enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It costs double to move towards that enemy.
I like that.
-2 to your composure in total.
Ooh, that's rough. That last one's rough.
Mm-hmm. I think 4 one round.
Yeah.
Actually, how about 1d4? Because we don't know how intimidating they were. And I don't want to make it a sliding scale. Like, if it works, you roll a d4, you find out how many rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
And yeah. That scales in its own effectiveness based on the effectiveness of the enemy and your effectiveness. You don't need to keep bumping it up. Man, Esmond's going to start intimidating bitches now.
Intimidate's useful.
It's one of my class skills. I just rarely used it because it didn't make sense.
And the should there be a negative for failing your intimidation? Should there be a risk associated?
Yes.
With it?
Yes.
What do you think, other than adding +1 to their resistance to it?
Should there be a chance that you have to?
I was going
to
say
full speed away.
Wounded pride. No.
At a certain point, like the classic example of like, let's say Dungeons and Dragons, where there's actually a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that every character moves towards that dragon, it's a goddamn dragon.
Yeah, it's scary. You know?
It's like prehistorically terrifying. There's things inside of you that will not let you walk up to that dragon.
Well, okay. I think maybe the plus, let's instead of the +1 to further checks, maybe a +2. Because I think that's a big enough deterrent. So for instance, you're like, I got to be reasonably sure I can intimidate this guy. Otherwise, everyone else can't do anything similar if I fail, right? Okay, how about that? You guys feel good about that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so in light of that and the difficulty of skill checks and with the introduction of our new dice tier system, I want to change the support items. So what I'm talking about is chemistry set, trauma kit, those kind of support items from a +5 bonus to a +2.
Done.
Because I feel like it's still worth your time.
Yes.
With the, you know, we could have rare ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, differing quality.
A +2 bonus is big then, if we limit it in this way. So the highest amount you could get to anything, the most you could have in any attribute is 4 at character creation. So at level 0, +5 from your profession, +2 from an item.
Yes.
So that would be 4 + 5 = 9 + 2 = 11, a +11 to a specific check, provided that everything matched up. That feels better.
That feels good.
It also feels that it was a step you took. You know, I think everything we've been doing
that's purposeful. Like, you're not going to accidentally end up with a +11.
It only happens because you took the steps to do that. It's not something everyone can do. Like, I think that's what mostly we've been working towards is you did that on purpose. So it's not overpowered because you are giving up other things to do this.
Yeah, you would definitely still get a chemistry set. With a +2. You would still use an entire slot in your backpack, which we also need to go over, but not in this episode.
Yes.
Okay. So do you kind of want to talk about chemistry?
Uh-huh.
We have this new dice tier system.
Yes.
What about if instead of improving the tier for result of every 5, it's every 2? Start at a difficulty of 10 to create a 1d4 potion.
So by 12, you're at D6?
So 10 is D4, 12 is D6, 14 is D8, 16 is 2D4, 18 is 1D10, 20 is a D12, 22, 2D6, 24, 3D4, 26, a D8 and a D6, 28, 2D8.
The tier progression works totally for me, but also what works totally for me is the idea of You're an alchemist. Is it intelligence?
Yes.
You have 4 in intelligence. It's your thing. So you have +11. You have to at least roll a 1. So no matter what, you make a D6 potion. I like that.
It's a D6. That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You're like, I'm the best I can be at alchemy at level 0. I do not make D4 potions anymore. Thank you very much.
Mm. And if you give that D6 potion to Grandin, minimum, he's getting 5 health back.
Yes.
Maximum, he's getting 12. No, 10.
10, yeah. Which is still ridiculous.
I'm worried that Frix is a little too powerful because of core radiance. And even when we did our playtest with strangers, nobody was picking core radiance. And I think y'all are sleeping
That's
on it.
That's why I don't think it's overpowered. I think we're going to... This is going to be a thing that's going to come up again and again, is we're going to provide something, and unless you're willing to completely give up your preconceived notions of what tabletop is, you will never, never see it.
Yeah.
So there may be a point where we need to take it down a notch. The idea that the people who designed it can do something effective with it isn't enough for me. If we did a couple like rando gameplay stuff and people just started realizing, like they came upon it, then I'd be worried.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to be a... It would be like It'd be like playing a fighting game, and there is an objectively best main, but it's Dan, and everyone thinks Dan's lame, and doesn't want to play him.
It's Luke Skywalker in Masters of Terras Kasi?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Were you guys ready to get back into Step 4?
No, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So let's start with Champion, because we didn't do Champion last time.
All right.
I've got a few options here. Some I like better than others, but I want to hear what you guys think and if you come up with something else. New once-a-day stance, which I feel is fine. That's on target, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A squire.
Oh, I'm kind of into that.
Totally into that.
A mount.
Yes.
I am willing to make the mount and the squire interchangeable if they're equally useful.
Attacks that you can do while moving, mid-move.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds that does on sound, brand as
that
well.
That actually sounds really awesome.
And an ability that's similar to D&D and Pathfinder that in their systems is known as Finishing Cleave, where if you reduce an enemy to zero hit points, you immediately make attack against somebody adjacent. Or we may allow, since we're step four in, we could allow them to move and do it.
I'm sure it's too much, but when you said attack to move, is there a point where you could add how many spaces you moved to your attack roll, like a running charge or something like that?
With the way damage scales now, that would be really great for the first step. And unless that damage scaled with your movement, it would be awful.
Okay.
And because it can scale with your movement, that would be really hard to balance.
Yeah.
No is the answer.
Okay, great.
But I like where your head is on that.
Mm-hmm.
I want Squire.
I like the idea
like
of a
Squire.
Interesting, because my two favorites for step four, new daily stance and finishing cleave.
Okay.
I think those, at least, I want to get into what you're talking about, but for those two, I think are the most like, oh, definitely also have
actually,
those.
Actually, wait, did we do Citadel already? Damn, give them Squire too.
We have not done Citadel.
Squire. Squire and something else, because I do think a lot of the non-flashy classes could always use a little extra flair.
A little even, razzmatazz.
Yeah, but even if I don't even need the Squire to do a whole lot, just the idea of the role play of just like, I'm a Citadel character, I've gone this far in Citadel, I now have a footman.
So what if you choose...
I do see Citadel more as a knight than like Champion.
Agreed.
Champion Agreed. I see as a combatant.
A Champion is like in the lines of Pit Fighter, Conan,
the barbarians, but also just all sorts of just fighty dudes. Whereas I do see Citadel much more as like gleaming shields of just meat.
Now, do you get a NPC character as a squire, or do you get to designate somebody as your squire within the party, and it gives you bonuses?
Both. Or no.
Ooh. From the roleplay perspective, I like you having to do your squire as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do champion first, and then we can have that conversation.
Okay,
because I think there's an option for both.
So we're moving both of those to Citadel, squire and mount instead of champion.
I'm gonna just go squire.
Okay,
I think mount is a thing you buy. You can get a mount.
Yeah, but I'm thinking okay. I think you can get a mount and it will allow you to move around.
Uh-huh.
But I think specifically, like, I use a lance on the top of this thing and I get abilities associated with
that
it.
That is a sidestep.
Yeah.
But okay. That is definitely a sidestep.
Like cavalier.
That is a very specific form of fighting that also might not work in dungeons.
A citadel with a big-ass tower shield and then, like, a falcon would be pretty dope.
Instead of a one-handed weapon?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just... Take the shot, Falcon.
The Falcon would just perch on the tower shield. It could have a nest on there.
Goes out and attacks, comes back.
So I'm removing Squire from Champion, even though flavor-wise, there are versions of that that are 100% on point, where it's like, oh, you're the famous hero of such and such.
Yeah.
I carry your swords, I sharpen them, I maintain your armor. But Citadel, I think you're right. I think Squire for Citadel.
I think Champion could have an adoring fan.
Well, that's what Showboat gets you, right?
Whereas Citadel would have, like, Squire would be holding a banner that gives him a buff
or something. God damn it, a banner. That's a great idea. Standard bearer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone that increases their sphere of control but also can do, like, I don't want someone who's a damage conduit. I want someone who's just there to add to control, do some fun role-playing moments. And I like the idea of you can make that person, like, if you have a champion with you, and you're like, you are now also my standard bearer. And so when we are together, we are both tankier. Mm-hmm. We move in concert.
And or it demoralizes the enemy if we're flanking them.
Yes.
Because, something like that.
Yeah. And so you could do that. Or you might be Citadel and all casters and it doesn't make sense. So you just grab an NPC who can't really attack, can't really do much, doesn't have that. But again, accentuates the abilities of the Citadel character.
Increases your carry capacity.
Yes.
That's a big one, right?
For a dude with armor, that is important.
Yeah.
For a dude with armor, a dude to help you into your armor is important.
I don't know if I want to get that crunchy where, like, so other systems, they're like, it takes such and such time to enter your armor and stuff like that. Whereas the reason why I'm saying I don't know if I want to get that crunchy is because we're talking about a base character feature that for other characters have abilities that compensate for that. And this one doesn't. And has a huge penalty if they fail to get it. You know, like that's because this is a game. So, all right. So I put Squire in Citadel. So let's get back to Champion.
Yes.
Mount? Mount is a Champion thing more than Citadel.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Killing things is more Champion than anything else, though.
Yes. Okay. Maybe save this for later. But what if you get a bonus for sparing the life of somebody?
Ooh.
Like in a showy, magnanimous way.
Malicious Mercy?
I like that.
I want to save that for later. I think there's a reason to later spare an enemy and get a bonus against other enemies. We're like, I would kill you, but I'm sparing your life. And then other people get bonuses against for diplomacy and stuff like that around you. That seems like it could be a feature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I think the idea of the moment you reduce somebody to zero, you can immediately move and then do a basic attack.
Is the thing to do.
I think step four, if we're removing Squire, that's on target.
Yeah.
Although I do kind of want to give him a new stance. It's been two steps since we've given him the new stance.
What's the stance?
The last one we gave them, if they invoke an opportunity attack, they get an extra weapon damage worth of damage to their next
for
attack.
Each one too.
Yeah,
dude, that might be broken.
I don't think it is. Think of the circuitous route.
All right,
that you would have to take. Not to mention, like, you can only move six spaces.
Yeah, and then add the scaling with it, and how many extra things you're going to add on top. Like the thing is, that's on top of the other crazy bonuses to just pure damage.
Okay,
I do like reducing to zero, and also, let's do a stance, but let's do a longevity stance. Not one of self-sacrifice, one of having to play that long con. Like, what's a thing that would work better against a single target? Because taking an opportunity attack from a boss,
you're not gonna
stack them up as much. And two, that opportunity attack is much riskier than when it's that ability to be damaged is elsewhere.
Here's a definite negative to Champion. Mm-hmm. Against a single boss. Challenges.
Yes.
You're not killing multiple targets. You're not getting a great bonus challenge. You only get a plus one and a plus one to hit and damage.
You only get that because you get it when you challenge. Yes.
Yes. What if it's something like an increase to damage, two extra damage for every 20 damage you deal? Because that will scale well if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Does that make sense? We'll have to. I'm going to try to break that.
You got to make it a single target, because then it could be maybe that. The only thing is that could be maybe used.
No. I would say you get an extra two damage for every 20 damage you deal against this target.
Yes, that.
Right. So if you do well, I mean, well, hell, if you do a deadly arc, your spinning attack, and you hit everybody around you and crit.
Yes.
Fine, you deal two extra damage to all of them. You know, like that. I'm not that concerned about that. That sounds fine.
Oh no, I'm saying like if it's not to that target, and you just for every 20 damage, you get to two extra damage, and you do deadly arc, and do 80 damage in a turn.
No. I think if you deal more than 20 damage to everybody around you, you get plus two damage against all of them because of the stance you're in. Fine.
Yeah,
that's fine to me. And then next turn you deal 20 more damage against another target, and that target gets 4 to damage, but it's a single target.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
You want to do it that way?
Yeah, that works.
Okay, so let's do that, and let's do Finishing Cleave.
Yes.
When an enemy drops to 0, you can use a move action and an attack. Basic attack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should it be once per turn, or should you be able to
once
chain...
Once per round.
Round, or should you be able to chain this bad boy if you're real, real smart?
No, I don't think you should chain it.
Because that would be...
Well, imagine Finishing Cleave.
If your whole party just sets up a domino, like just dominoes for you to just rip through, it'd be great.
I think that... So, playing as somebody who's played a fighter, when your party is aware of what you can do when an enemy is reduced to 0, you generally... If they're...
They stop doing it.
If they're on your side, which is not easy. I mean, Max, tell us a little bit about your experience playing in RPGs.
Yeah, it's never... been people setting each other up. It's been what I can do and then what you can do if I'm paying attention to what you're even doing.
We played a game where that was not true.
I'm talking about
table.
Not you, not this group.
Pre. Yeah.
I've never had the experience until this of helping each other in combat, really. So
I do, and I am sensitive to the idea that that will actually be true for some of our players, where somebody will play command where they think it's great, and then they'll try to do every attack themselves because they just want to act.
Yeah.
And this has happened with our friends before in something that wasn't recorded. And I'm sensitive to groups that think that way because I thought that way, I'm sure, when I first started playing, and I made a fucking monk in D&D 3.5, and it was terrible. Like, it was it was the worst class. Useless.
Because you're mediocre at everything, and also half of those things don't ever happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also indestructible, but mediocre. So, like, yeah, you can't kill me, but you can kill all my friends around me, and then I'll just run away, and I still feel useless. Let's get into Scoundrel.
All right.
Venoms.
More venoms.
They need another venom. You guys cool with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, here are the ideas I had. A venom that slows a target.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A venom that confuses a target, which is very powerful.
I like that one.
We can save any of these for later, by the way. A venom that inhibits healing.
That one's nasty.
A venom that will put an enemy to sleep, which also makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nauseating and delayed damage, but it's huge. Like, oh, in 1d4 rounds, you will take 3d8 damage, you know, something like that.
Does that stack? For the round, for the amount of times you get hit?
No. No, I don't think
it's. Is it a one-time use?
No, I think you put it on, and it's true for everyone you hit.
Okay.
But it's... So when you say stack, you mean... Oh, I think it stacks in the sense that, like, okay, I hit him this turn, and in 1d4 turns, it's going to deal damage.
Yeah.
Well, I hit him, and let's say he rolls a 4.
Uh-huh.
So 4 turns from now. Next one, he rolls a 2. So now it's been another turn. And now the turn after this, and then the turn after that is going to take extra damage.
Yeah.
I think it stacks in that way.
That's huge, though. 3d8.
Mm-hmm.
When you put that's...
I'm making up a number.
I was going to say, that's giant. That's... Yeah.
But it's also not guaranteed in the way that the Sting Venom is, where it's a d4 every turn. So maybe a d6 of rounds. That's a gamble. Big damage on a really high number of rounds, potentially.
Because we played many encounters where we didn't even get to 6 rounds.
Correct. The fight with the mole, even though it seemed like a long fight, was over before the end of 2 rounds.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
Would you get that before like a slowing?
Yeah, because consider the last venom they got was D4 of damage.
Yeah, very basic, but very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think of these, the ones I like most... we're talking step 4,
yeah,
of Scoundrel.
Confuse and delayed damage are the ones I'm looking at.
I'm looking at anti-healing and sleep.
All right.
I really like anti-healing.
Mm-hmm.
How often is that going to come up? I think my only thing.
Now, when I say anti-healing, I'm thinking how it will cut the healing in half.
I'm saying that even if they can't be healed, that will ruin that encounter, but the amount of encounters in which character, like enemies actually heal...
I want to increase that.
You want to increase that? Okay.
Yeah, because I think that healing is one of those things that we're like, you start a combat and things are going as normal and you're like, okay, we're working this out. And then it gets to the turn where the enemy starts healing. Everybody's like, oh shit, we need to shift focus immediately.
Now.
Yeah. And I think the person who's scoundrel is not like, okay, well, I'm going to disengage from the person I'm flanking. They're like, okay, well, I'm going to apply a different venom.
I don't want it to have, though. I want it to stop it. But
do you want that used against your characters?
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
You had a butt, was there?
You had a butt.
I think we also need to have like one-time use venoms and like you shouldn't have one guy being able to tag up a whole team and be like, "Well, now none of you can heal."
How big is the team? Because if you're thinking we're talking about a scoundrel here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to actually strike everybody in melee that you've affected with your venom, which is very difficult. So I don't know.
But if it lasts until the end of encounter, that's
I think
becomes
slow,
a lot less impossible.
Slow is a natural progression, and then maybe the next.
It's just that there's other things that do slow.
Yeah,
there's a lot. There's a lot of things that slow.
There's one class that's what they do. That's the thing they do. That's so great. It's just that version of control.
What if it keeps compiling? So half speed, then speed of one, and then immobilized. So it builds for each consecutive hit.
I actually like that a lot.
So slowing is the first hit, they will move half speed. Second hit, their speed is reduced to one. Third hit, they're immobilized. That's three rounds for that all to take effect.
For till the end of the encounter?
I think maybe they progress backwards.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what if you had like two daggers and both were envenomed with that? If you hit with both, would they?
I don't think two steps. I think you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if I do venom strike, it's only envenoming one of my daggers.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
But in the next round,
and I have to spend an attack action to envenom a second.
All right. So it would still take four rounds to. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then if I'm champion, I'm doing double strike every round to make sure it goes down.
Can you envenom arrows?
I'm pretty sure yes is the
answer. Yeah. I mean, a lot with the cross-step things, the answer is going to be yeah, mainly because the weird interactions that we don't know about are so deep in it. They're like, oh, yeah, you have to go, you know, four steps down this way, four steps down this way, so we don't know what step eight looks like.
Yeah.
The likelihood that it will be, like, that combination is going to be head and shoulders better than what we come up with is not unlikely, but it's also, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so then let's do slowing. You want to do slowing because it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability...
Do you want to add two venoms? Do you want to add now choice? You can only pick one unless you're dual wielding.
Unless you're dual wielding.
But then you also have to spend a turn. And spending an attack action should have a... You know, it should change the game.
Let's do slowing and anti-healing, and I want to make it half healing. Because I feel like half healing is devastating.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, if look at Mortal Strike in World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It will kill you. Just having all of the heals done to help you halved. Okay, you get the two venoms. Here's a couple other things for Scoundrel. Scoundrel probably will have the most options of everything that we want to go through, because it's all sneaky trick shit. Mm-hmm.
It's all situational.
Yes. Misdirection,
uh-huh.
Where you can direct an enemy strike into an adjacent enemy that is their ally or within their reach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fun. Disarm an enemy feels more scoundrel than champion or citadel even.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus to stealth.
That would be good.
And trap finding.
Trap finding.
two venoms plus trap finding.
Yeah.
Because you're building traps in step three.
Yes.
So a plus... What's a reasonable plus to trap finding without being ridiculous? Is a plus five too high?
The only thing about it being plus five is, let's say you are a trapper.
Yep. You got a plus five.
That's a plus 10.
No, what's your intelligence? Two?
Probably two.
Plus 12.
Plus 12.
Is that absurd?
No, because that also requires three dedicated...
Yeah, you did that.
Pretty dedicated thing. Like, you can get it to 14. Also, any scoundrel with four intelligence might not have been built correctly.
All right, well, how about this? We'll say it is... This is step four?
Yeah.
Plus your scoundrel level. Okay. No, because then it becomes plus 12 and ridiculous. Yes. Shit. How about half?
So half your scoundrel level, plus two?
So it's a plus two and step scales. Four.
All right.
Yeah.
So it gets to the point where when you are a master scoundrel, yeah, man, you know there's traps pretty much always, which that doesn't sound broken. Mm-hmm. If you're investing that much in.
And this is with the addition of two venoms.
That's solid.
Okay.
That's a good toolbox.
That's a good step four.
As a master scoundrel, would you be able to set off traps against the people who set them?
Oh, yeah, that's so specific. But
yeah, yes. I feel like that's an errata rulebook almost. Like, you just want to find him, you know?
I know, I'm just saying later on, like, if you see like a firebomb or something and there's guys around it and you're like, I see it.
And you just throw a rock into it and it explodes and you're like, suckers.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and this puts me in a weird conundrum because like playing Phyrexa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Core Radiance, step one scoundrel. Is he more of a scoundrel than anything else? Might be.
Yes.
Might be. When I get 30 momentum and take my next step, might be scoundrel just to get pocket sand. Which Phyrexa with pocket sand, I think, sounds appropriate.
Yeah.
Him having pocket sand is so appropriate.
It's pocket sand and something else. Oh, the ability to draw and stow things as a swift action.
Oh, that one's just dope. That'd be really great for Chuki.
It'd be good for Chuki, but it'd be really good for Phyrexa.
You can also get... Yeah, you also have extra pair of hands.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They can draw and stow things and just save
them. And you can have two attack
them.
Reactions and an encounter.
Yep.
Once an encounter. That's great.
Okay. Zealotry. This is tough.
What was step three?
Step three was you can take the boons that you have
and apply them.
Share them with other people. Let me actually get the current version.
So, obvious answer, more boons.
I think
make that thing more useful that you just gave them.
I think I want to step further. So, yes, but I think I also want to step further into combo game.
All right.
Making their combos more fun and rolling, you know what I mean? Zealotry step three, they only got shared zeal, which adjacent ally... All of the boons currently affecting you, magical or otherwise, are granted to an adjacent ally, and they renew their duration on that target.
Yes. How many possible boons can they have?
A lot, depending on their party, because your party can apply boons to you, as well
boons?
As you putting boons on yourself, and you can share all of those with an adjacent ally.
Who other than zealots give boons?
Radiance, for sure.
Uh-huh. You could beat the heal over time.
Yeah.
Is that Radiance?
Share it. Mm-hmm. No, that's Zealotry.
That's Zealotry.
Zealotry core. Uh-huh. There are other boons in Command, for sure, where you give bonuses to skill checks and stuff. Radiance, okay. Heaven's Favor, they're daily. Uh-huh. All of your healing spells grant your composure as additional hit points until the end of the scene. You could share that with somebody. Radiant Defender, anybody adjacent to it, gains plus two to dodge and plus one to armor. And allies who begin their turn adjacent to it gain composure as healing. They're invigorate, obviously, the shielding.
Uh-huh.
They gain. So if you are next to somebody who's core radiance and they cast all of this and you're zealotry,
yeah,
you've just put three boons on somebody, including shielding and all of this healing boosts and everything else. Marksman, I don't think, has any boons.
We need to give other paths boons.
Oh, they do. Delegate.
Mm-hmm.
Grant your intellect to a single ally as bonus damage or as a boon to skill checks until the start of your next turn. Citadel, immovable object. You cannot be knocked flat and any forced movement is canceled. Zealotry can grant that to somebody.
If they have it on them, right?
Yes. If they are step three Citadel.
And step 3 zealotry?
Yeah.
Okay.
So zealotry gets the most boons because it's on themselves. So champion, step 2, reckless abandon. Oh, shit. Their daily stance mm-hmm. is a boon.
Yeah, okay.
That's huge. You can be step 2 champion, step 3 zealotry, which is not extreme. And you're able to give them your daily stance after you take it. That's pretty huge. And that's it for boons right now. Actually, except for races. Races get boons.
It'd be if you give...
No, I got an answer for this. Alchemy.
Go ahead.
Alchemy.
What was the question, if alchemy is the answer?
No, if that there's just like... All right, so he has this ability where you can grant people boons, but the list of boons that you can get is mostly in your own class or 3 steps down another.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
It's not bad.
The 3-step one is unreasonable, but...
Yeah. Okay.
But if you could do that with alchemical effects too.
Yeah. If you drink a potion that increases your speed. Oh, core zealotry.
Uh-huh.
You get your aspect.
Yeah.
You grant that to people.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is the biggest. That's the biggest boon, right? So
when you change aspects, do they?
No.
Okay.
So I think step 3, just granting somebody your aspect is
worth
it. Oh,
it's solid.
It's worth it. Yeah.
I was going to say, for the duration, you were saying when you grant it to somebody, the duration starts over for them, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What if it starts over for you on step 4?
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although the idea of being able to keep looping the boon giving to you for one turn by the command, and you're like, no, it's just on me forever because I keep just doing it, is kind of fun.
What if you could spend a swift action once per scene to extend the effect of a combo you just had?
So you can combo into combos?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's a swift action to set up shit.
Although
right?
I do need something. I need a flavorful thing with it too.
Let's worry about the flavor after the mechanics. Yeah. I like that one. And then same idea, something that allows you to do 2 attacks on your next turn. Maybe it's a daily.
Okay.
And that sets up 2 combos if they both hit. I'm kind of cool with giving them both of that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like a once per scene to use a swift action, and then a once per day to allow 2 attacks on your next turn, and you're going to use those to set up further combos.
I'm not super worried about it because it won't always go off according to plan. But when it does, it requires so much setup. They are like, no, you put in the groundwork, man. You got that. You get that.
I kind of want to give them an extra at-will attack that has a bonus then to add to that. So step 4 for zealotry is really good.
Yeah, where they
because
explode.
The ability to add boons is good, but what's something you would want to use as a setup? Like your next attack does what? Like, or you people around you get X or something like that. What don't they have by step 4? I'm AoE damage.
That's good.
AoE healing.
That's better.
Both is one.
We do that. Yeah.
Extra movement.
I like the AoE to heal.
So both damage and healing?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's give them a Nova.
Yeah, because we're rewarding them for...
Yeah.
And I think it should be dice. Let's give them a dice roll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at step 4, I think 2d6, bonus damage and healing.
Burst 1.
Which would be step 7 at level 0. No, let's say burst 2. Let's make it big. Step 4 we're talking about, right? Once per scene.
I thought you said this was an at will.
Let's make it an at will. So then it should be a D10. Does that make sense?
I'm willing to have it still be 2D6. I just need burst 1. I want it to be more contained than
So 2D6 of damage is good. 2D6 of healing is huge.
Yeah, but burst 1.
But then again, you've gained so many steps, it may not be that big of a deal. So at level 0, that's 7. At step 4, you need to be level 3. So let's subtract 3. So it'll be class 4 dice.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Tier 4 dice? Okay. Burst 1 then, if it's at will.
And also, I just like, Radiance has a burst heal.
At character creation.
Yes, and it's great, and it's burst 2. But I like the idea that Zealotry does that too. Kind of harder, but closed in. And it just feels like they're more frontline, get in the face, have my buddies next to me. We're pushing through.
But the drawback is it has to hit.
Yeah.
You have to hit with the attack so that your next attack... You have to hit with 2 attacks to make it work.
What, to get the burst?
Yeah. Your next attack, if it hits, also deals X. Mm-hmm. So it means you have to hit the one that primes it and then hit the next one that does it. Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's a machine.
And then if you can...
Coupled with the once-per-scene swift action to extend combo.
Yeah.
And a daily that allows two attacks on your next turn.
You can stack a bunch of combos on one hit.
I like it.
So you can do burst heal, burst damage, extra damage, and then like provide a boon. And like, boom.
Yeah.
That
Zealotry is like a snowball.
That shifts the tempo of the fight instantly.
Yeah. If it all lands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you want to spend momentum, you can make sure it all lands.
Yeah.
But you got to come through like a hero in that moment.
Yeah. But that's a great moment. I want to see that moment.
I also want to see the moment where you fail. That momentous failure.
We've seen that moment many times.
A lot, yeah. More than I thought we would.
I'm talking about this one we just made, though.
Yeah, it would be very upsetting.
Oh, no, you're spending 3 momentum each one with a decent bonus.
And failing. Yeah.
Possible.
Let's get into Radiance.
All right.
Who I'm now becoming a little biased towards because of Phyrexia. I think Radiance should do things visually.
All right.
So we already have... If you crit them, they get a chance to blind you, which is good. Let's deal with things that deal with beams and visual abilities. I'm thinking, what about a sunbeam? An attack that comes down and just damages somebody. I'm not sure it's appropriate for this step, but like a massive single damage thing could be pretty cool. I guess moonbeam. What's the druid thing in World of Warcraft that they spam?
Moonfire.
Moonfire, yeah. So like Moonfire, but a sunbeam. That could be cool.
Like in...
Praise the sun.
You roll like a d20 in years to see how much cancer they get.
Yeah. Okay. If they flee, mm-hmm. You know, will their family have to pay for chemo? The two that I like the most, and maybe we give them both to them at this step, but I'm not positive. Teleportation as a ray and an attack. Where they can take any allies adjacent to them... And move them.
Oh my God!
Their speed to a new spot without invoking opportunity attacks because it's instant. But for every ally,
it's reduced by one.
No, I think for every ally they take, the damage for targets caught between them is increased by that amount. So if you were to do 2d6, if you were to do a d12, if you teleported through somebody with this beam attack that allows you to move, and you take 3 allies, it's 3d12.
Howard fucked us up with that.
Yeah, no, the two things I'm about to bring up are both things that we did with the Howards.
I don't like it giving a bonus for the increased difficulty. Like, what should be an increase in difficulty for accomplishing a task by doubling the amount of mass you need to move makes the thing better, which is okay to increase the damage. I also just want to decrease the range by one for every ally. So
the distance by one?
Yeah, you can't go as far, but you can go harder.
Hmm. I don't know, because I think it's more difficult to bring more people, because it's also more difficult to make it appropriate. You don't want to bring your core citadel who's entrenched with everybody.
No.
But if you do, you get a bonus, which makes sense. I think the situations where you'd bring more than one person would be slim. So, okay, we'll keep that in your head.
It might be more of an escape tactic anyway.
That's what I'm thinking.
Grabbing your scoundrel.
Or grabbing your scoundrel and dragging him back, which is actually nice.
Either that or putting him in the upper hand.
But yeah. You could also make a Death Star with this thing.
Yeah, if you could have everybody ball
bunch
up on
up
you.
And just...
But you know what?
That's kind of tight.
It does sound pretty awesome. Okay.
Yeah. I'm saying go for it. With Radiance, with Citadel, I am more comfortable... going hard and having to scale them back.
Yeah.
Than the other way around. Because if they're just okay, it's a lot harder to tell if they need to be better to be chosen. Whereas if we play it and we're like, nope, it's a lot easier to just say like, oh, we broke it.
Yeah.
Take it back a notch, guys.
So I'm thinking a daily ability, speaking of the Howards, where Howard the Duck created images of himself. And nobody, including the GM or the players, knew which one was the correct one. And they all acted as though they were the correct one.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's a good step four. Once per day, they can do that. They can spread out among 6 with each one with one space in between.
I want to attach it to a stat.
What do you mean?
1 plus your stat.
Here's my argument for 6.
6-sided die?
6-sided die. If you roll a 1, it's the correct one.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm thinking is that even if you roll to attack one of the Howards and you hit the correct one, the others don't disappear. I say a Howard. I mean, Radiance.
Yeah.
Your Radiance character. They don't disappear. You take the full damage of that attack. Unless you're knocked flat, you're brought to zero and incapacitated, then they all disappear. But the idea is you are actually all of them. You're not just one of them. But if any of them that aren't the real one take damage...
You're the single electron theory.
Right. If any of them take damage and they're not you, they vanish. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the enemy has to roll a d6, and if there's five of you left and he rolls a 6 on the die, he just re-rolls until he gets something under 6, and repeat that until it's only you left.
And then you can flip a coin.
Yeah, it doesn't matter then. How do you guys feel about that one?
Both of those are super strong.
I kind of want just mirror image. I kind of want just that, where not, even calling it mirror image is too D&D in the sense that, like, even that term is a little inappropriate.
Fractal.
Fractal is like making smaller. What's the opposite of fractal? Like you go out.
Ooh.
Prismatic?
Yeah. Prismatic form?
Prismatic form.
Tip.
Oh, I'll make them different colors too. Just screw it. Roy G. Biv that thing, although that's 7.
Okay, we'll say prismatic form. 6 images of you appear all within 2 spaces of one another.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Liam, if they could go Roy G. Biv.
Yeah.
At like step 7, could you go infrared or ultraviolet where no one should see you?
Sure.
All right, well, let's save that. That's a good idea. Let's save like
I do
high spectrum.
Infrared and now is a cool thing to maybe add to radiance.
Fuck that. Let's go full gamma. Let's go X-ray gamma.
God
like,
damn it.
Let's abuse the spectrum.
Everyone in your
actually,
party.
X-ray vision would just be a cool thing to give the radiance. What's in the box? Mm-hmm. I know it's in the box. You don't want to open that box.
We've always known what was in the box. Yeah. Let's be fair. Let's save teleportation ray for next. Let's save for step 5, right?
Yeah.
But how about there's an ability in D&D called Sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
Where you touch a target and the enemy is less likely to try to attack that target. And in Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder, that means that they have to succeed on a will save when they try to attack that target to be able to even attack them.
Uh-huh.
We don't have will saves.
No.
So what if it is, instead of a boost to dodge, why don't we do the enemy has to make a composure roll against the allies what? What stat? We have strength, dexterity,
no.
intellect,
maybe.
Composure, endurance.
Maybe.
Composure.
Strength is definitely out. Strength and dex are out.
So the enemy has to make something against... Oh, the caster's composure.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because they're the one providing the sanctuary.
Right. Is that once per scene? That I think once per scene is appropriate.
That is once per scene.
Okay.
That is strong. If you could just always have that on somebody, that would make a scoundrel real scary. And that would make it...
Well, I think if that person attacks, it ends.
Yeah.
Right.
But if it's not a per scene, you just throw it up again.
Okay, so prismatic form once per day for sure. Right? Like that is so powerful. But it's only you. You can't grant it to anybody else unless you're zealotry and you've gotten that far and you can share your boons with other people.
That is step 3 and step 4 though. So at that point,
yeah, you're pretty high.
You're fighting not normal things by that point.
And then so Sanctuary isn't actually appropriate for the tone of our game, the name of it, and the way we're using it. It has to roll against the caster's composure. So what would you call it?
Defensive strobe.
I think it would be more of like you're trying to make them fade out.
Like a shroud.
Yeah. Or a like you've blurred them, added noise, you know, that kind of thing to their image. Where somebody has to try to focus on them to hit them.
I would say static, but people always equate that to electricity.
Like white noise is kind of the thing, but static, I think. How about like static shield? Static
interfering shield.
Interference.
It might just be interference. That's good.
I think I like interference.
Yeah.
Okay, I like this. As per scene, prismatic form is daily, and we'll save teleportation ray to step 5. Well, I'm the tough one now, guys.
You mean the fun one?
Yes. Citadel.
Citadel.
We talked about a squire.
Yes.
Let's talk about it as though it is a standard bearer.
All right.
Now, making an ally your standard bearer should confer bonuses on that person, right?
I think it would be both.
But making a squire who can't attack, there should be reasons to pick that instead of an ally.
Mm. Yeah.
I would probably always pick ally, unless squire is really good.
I think they should be... Again, I think the reason why you allow the squire thing is for... one, they should have to be in close proximity. And if you are with all... If you're all ranged and you have a citadel character, which is not unreasonable, you got to have that option to throw an extra pair of legs on the field. But it should always make more sense to designate, you know, a champion or a mixed fighter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's think of a buff. Because I think I can think of an easy fix for the squire.
Uh-huh.
But let's think of the buffs that this gives you.
All right.
I was thinking like a zone. You know how everything else has like a zone if you step into it, something bad happens to you. What if it's you actually have to move, like the fear to move into this zone? That banner, seeing that banner of that champion that you've heard so much about, or not the champion, the citadel. You know, like this is a knight, and you see that banner. Maybe this there's is a fear to move into
this
it.
This is a wall that walks.
Yeah.
I think...
Also, we're going to eventually name an ability the wall that walks.
I like that, yes.
That is a stance.
I think it adds plus one to everyone's composure defense that is within sight of the banner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Done. No questions asked.
Okay. What does a standard do for you? It adds plus one to your composure skills, right?
Yeah. Would that just be the citadel?
No.
Okay, this is because
you're all the same army, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do need some specific bearer, specific citadel bonuses as well.
You can equip your squire. Okay, so if the...
Because while these composure abilities are nice, this is not as good as prismatic image form.
If your standard bearer is granting you the upper hand against your target,
uh-huh,
you get plus two to hit.
Both of you do?
No.
Oh.
Just Citadel.
Okay.
Which is...
Nice.
It's still good, right? How do we feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Just need one more thing, and that's something for the standard bearer.
And I've got something.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to say, what if in a swift action, your standard bearer and you could switch out weapons?
What if you... I almost think it would be way cooler if you could switch places.
I was thinking if they're holding your spear and your sword and you just switch with them real quick and then you're...
Well, I was thinking...
Yeah.
I think my next thing will play into that.
Mm-hmm. Think of them as pack mule.
The standard bearer, if it is not an ally, has half your health, minus two to hit.
Okay.
And does half damage. And you can equip them with whatever you want.
All right.
They have standard speed.
Okay.
And their loadout is... Whatever we decide how slots work, right? Okay.
Why would an ally become a standard bearer?
Because it increases their chance when they have the upper hand. It's got to be a bonus to them when they are augmenting you.
Yes.
Maybe they get a plus one to hit when granting you the upper hand. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the idea of squire with a crossbow underneath the citadel's tower shield. Just
so... Somebody who is a scoundrel,
mm-hmm,
if you tell them, I can give you a permanent plus one for granting me the upper hand,
yep,
they're going to go, yes, me. 100% me, for sure.
Yes.
Every time.
All you have to do is hold this.
Even a champion is still going to go like, this makes sense. I enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And it allows for a mechanical reason to get rid of a little bit of your ego. Because I think there is something ego wounding about being someone else's standard bearer.
Yeah. Bearing the standard is an honor, and you should feel honored by it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the best fighter would get the standard.
Let's give him plus one to damage, too.
All right.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus...
I mean, the plus one to hit is mechanically the most useful part. I feel like...
Plus one to damage, though...
Is a token.
It's
a nice token.
Yeah. But mechanically...
It tells you what you're supposed to do.
Now, mechanically, if you're just talking a numbers game,
yeah,
I would still pick the squire over an ally if you're just talking the numbers game.
Yeah.
Because the extra attack would be worth it. However, you know as well as I do that in some moments, that plus one to hit. If you just had plus one more for an ally, it would be worth it.
It also opens so many like.
It opens a lot of role play options. Yeah. That's why you would do it. Mm. And as soon as you have a mechanics reason to do it, like,
okay, you are now step four. What is your banner? You know, like, that's something for you to think about. Like, what is it? The bio tapestry, like everything you've done so far. Like, what is your banner?
It's the three paw prints from Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. I really like this idea of. You pick a standard bearer. You can choose an NPC that you are in control of who can't. Should they be able to attack?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they should. You should give them whatever you want. If they die.
Oh, yeah, they're dead.
Yeah, you got to find another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's up to the GM when you meet more people. So if you kill them in a dungeon, it's not as good as having chosen an ally to be your standard bearer.
Oh, my God. So what if, let's say, a PC character, they die?
Uh-huh.
Player character dies. The squire gets knighted. You take over being that squire.
Oh my god, that would be great.
That sounds great.
That's another cool thing to
do.
You're like, hey,
why don't we all five of our players, or all four of our players, however many people are playing the campaign, all agree on the next character we want to play, and we'll take it whatever direction we want to, but we all agree that the squire...
is the character.
Is the person, and whoever dies is gonna take over him.
Oh, no. If you already have the character sheet rolled up and you all agree that's going to happen, and someone dies in the session, and they just, your innate abilities due to watching this death awaken something terrible in you.
You start. Well, okay, so...
That would be such a fun roleplay moment.
Well, I think... let's let players figure out what level that person is.
Yeah.
Because it's a scaling level if you choose an NPC rather than a player to be your standard bearer, because they always get half of what you get, which increases.
Yeah.
And they can only do basic attacks.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. And then if you play as that character, the GM has to be like, okay, you are now level two.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so let them figure that shit out.
You have graduated from being a squire. You are now a warrior.
Now you want them to deal half... Do you want them to deal half damage with a basic attack? Their stats... What are their stats? Just...
Yours minus one?
That's still too good, I think. Yours minus one...
It's a lot of zeros. Possibly 1-3. I guess at 4, possibly 1-4, depending on if you go hard.
They're identical to yours.
Yeah.
Minus 2 to hit and deal half damage.
Yeah. They are not a damage monkey. And in fact, it's more about control bonuses.
Providing the upper hand if you need it.
What does it all do with the upper hand?
Other than opportunity attacks that they have unlimited amounts of.
Ooh, that's great. Never mind. That's perfect.
Do they knock down, right?
No, that's scoundrel.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're four steps citadel, one step scoundrel. In which case you could be...
Tolden.
You could be awful.
A scoundrel.
Just a knight who's not afraid of stabbing someone in the back.
So a real knight.
So a knight.
An actual historical knight.
Max, have you ever watched The Seventh Seal? Or not The Seventh Seal.
With the chess, right? The chess game? Yes.
That was the most realistic depiction of a Crusades-era knight ever. Played by Max von Sydow. And his squire is a very realistic squire.
I haven't seen that.
A bigger badass than the knight, but just like uses knives and shit. It's great. It's why anybody knows who Max von Sydow is, really, before The Exorcist. I think that's going to end it for us tonight, guys. I think that's step four. I mean, other than really getting into the nitty-gritty, which I will do on the rule book when we have to actually write it out, I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We feel pretty good about those.
There's a lot of... This one felt really toolbox expanding.
Yeah.
This one can...
Especially with Decay and Citadel, I feel like.
And if you're going full... If you're going full one step at this point and you hit four, this could change the way your party deals with any problem it comes up to suddenly, which is very fun.
It's true. Okay. Well, that's where we're going to end it. So thank you guys so much. As always, you can check us out on our Patreon. We just released a new rule book that has the new dice tier progression that we've created to make multi-classing even more viable. And the next rule book after that will contain step four. So if you're interested about Patreon but you've never done it before, the way it works is there are different dollar amounts you can give. And at the $1 tier, we give you all of our cutting room floor content where there's just extra conversations that you don't get to hear because they're not on topic. At the $2 amount, you get all the character sheets we create. If you're trying to run your own game, you can print them out. If you know the rules well enough, you can just have your players use those. At the $5 amount, you get all the rule books we release and all the previous versions if you like the previous version better. At the $10 amount, though, that's where the real money is, because you get to create custom NPCs that persist in our game world for a long time. And there have been multiple ones we've used already in our live play campaigns. So please, if you guys are fans, check us out. You can always comment on our Patreon posts, even if you're not a patron. And you can always find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS.
You can find us on Instagram at RPG from scratch. That's all one word.
You can find us on Twitter at homebrewhombres.
And again, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.